be seated, and our children can be dismissed to your worship and Sunday classes. Good morning. Last week we learned about what it means to live out our calling in Christ. It's a call that God gives to each and every person who believes, each and every person who receives this amazing grace, one that we do not deserve, but one that is given to us by God through Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that we've been challenged and we continue to be challenged by the Word of God, being reminded that the Word of God is not something simply meant to be listened to or read on certain days of the week, but it is something that is meant to feed us and actually change and mold and move us in a way where our lives represent God Himself to those around us. Whether it's to encourage fellow believers to continue to press on in their faith, or to spark a difference, a light that we cannot shine on our own, the light of God Himself in us through the Holy Spirit to those who do not yet know Him. So in every way, in every life that we touch here at CCC, I pray that every one of us would touch those around us with indeed the love of God as we are living out our callings in Jesus Christ. And so even as we go through this book, this letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Philippian church, I hope that we too have been encouraged, just as I'm sure the Philippian church was, by the words of the Apostle Paul, but also we know the Word of God for us today. So we're going to continue on in the book of Philippians, and today we're going to look at chapter 3, verses 17 through 21 together. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21 together. This is where the Word of God says, "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself." Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you again for your word. We pray that it would not fall on hardened hearts or deaf ears this morning, but that God, through your Holy Spirit, it would impact each and every one of our lives, that it would change something in us, that it would plant the seeds of your gospel reality, and that we would learn as a church and as people of God to live it out each and every day in every single situation, no matter what circumstances may come our way. God, would you be with our congregation? Give open hearts, give open ears, give open minds to listen. Grant us humility to know that we do not know everything, and that oftentimes our way is not the best way, but that your way is perfect and good, and you want us to know your way so that you be glorified. But when you are glorified in our lives, help us to see that we benefit most, because we get to see what life is all about, and it's all about you, our Heavenly Father. So God, would you be with me as well as I preach your word? This is your word, your message for your people this morning. So be with me and speak powerfully through me, through your Holy Spirit. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So who here has ever had a role model before? Someone you thought of as a role model? Okay. Maybe many of us. Some of us, maybe we just look to ourselves and say, "I don't care about anyone else. I'm my own role model." Maybe we had different people like that. But I think in this journey of life, we can't help but have people who maybe are a little bit ahead of us in the journey, or maybe in a place we consider above us that we kind of want to get to. And so we have role models, people we want to kind of model our lives after, take advice from, in essence, want to be like them. But when we look at the role models nowadays in life, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in things that actually aren't the best qualities of what we should look for in a role model. One big arena is sports. We see guys who are physically at, you know, their peak, able to dunk balls, jump as high as they can, lift crazy amounts of weight. And so it's easy to become enamored by things like speed and agility and strength and outward displays of maybe glory, as you would call it. But the sad thing is that a lot of these athletes who are spectacular on the field or on the court, they're not exactly people that I would want Caleb, as he's growing up, to look up to and have as a role model. There's a famous Hall of Fame basketball player named Charles Barkley, and he's known for just kind of keeping it real and talking straight. This is something that he said when people were asking him how he feels about being a role model. And I'm not going to try to do his voice, you know, because it's terrible, right? But this is what he said. He said, "I am not a role model. Just because I can dunk a basketball doesn't mean I should raise your kids." Did you hear that? He said, "I'm not a role model. People may look to me as a role model, but I'm not a role model. Just because I can dunk a basketball does not mean that I should raise your kids." And I've always thought that Charles Barkley is quite profound in his just kind of keeping it real at times, because he hits on something there that I think we have to take a moment and really reflect on his words and why what he's saying is so important to our culture and even to our lives as believers. You see, the people we view as role models oftentimes coincides with what we glorify as the world. You see, the world glorifies these kind of things. People who are super fast, who are super fit, who are super athletic, who are super smart, who are super successful, who have super amounts of money. And we say they should be the role models because look at how spectacular they are, the lives that they live, what they have, what they've earned, what they've attained in this world. Look how many trophies. Look how many championships. That's who you're supposed to be like. Success, glorified. That's what the world glorifies. These outward, and yes, even I would say at times spectacular things, but they are not the things that we as believers of Jesus Christ ought to be glorifying. These are not the things that are important to us as ones trying to live out our calling in Jesus Christ. They are not the ones to emulate. And I believe Paul here is telling us a very similar thing. We ought not to imitate the world. We ought not to follow in line with what the world glories in. We ought to imitate Christ, who glories in God the Father. You see, that's what our lives are all about. That is what we should be modeling ourselves after. And so as we live in this world, we don't imitate, I mean, we do imitate sometimes on the court, you know, we pretend we're Michael Jordan and different things. But with our lives, how we live it, the important things, we must imitate Christ. And how can we imitate Christ with our lives? There's a few things that I want to talk about. And firstly, it's this: we must live with Christ. Integrity in Christ. Now, integrity is something that I talk about a lot because it speaks to me personally, but I believe it's such an important part of what it means to imitate Christ. It means basically that you are the same person when you are by yourself alone in your room as you are when you are in front of 100 people, when you are around your friends, when you're with your work buddies, when you're with your workout buddies, when you're with your wife or your children, that you are the same person. There's integrity in the way that you live. And for the believer of Jesus Christ, to imitate him means to have integrity. It means your identity as a child of God, who you are in him, that keeps you the constant. no matter where you go. Live with integrity in Christ. You know, there's this idea, and I've shared this before, but about a thermostat and a thermometer. And the big difference between a thermostat and a thermometer is a thermometer, depending on the situation, the circumstances, the heat, the cold, whatever it might be, you see it move up and down. It changes with the outside environment. But a thermostat is you set it and it is a constant and it actually affects the environment around it. And for us to imitate Christ means we must be living thermostats for God. It means we bring the holy fire in the way that we live. That's what integrity means. You're not affected by other people. It's not for the eyes of other people. It's who you are before God, and you know that, and you live it out. So this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. So live with integrity in Christ. Look at verse 17. It says, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." That's a very interesting thing that Paul says here, because he doesn't actually say imitate Christ blatantly. He doesn't say that explicitly here, right? What he says is imitate me. Now that might sound very prideful, to say, hey, be like me. But I believe Paul is not speaking out of pride here. Rather, this is a man who has sold out for Christ. This is a man who has given his life to serving the Lord. He's a man who wrestles with the sin in his heart, the sinfulness that he still wrestles with, the old man that he talks about, who he once was, that there's still a struggle. But each time he repents, and he turns to the Lord, and he surrenders to God, and he grows in his faith and in his relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in a very real way, as he says, brothers, join in imitating me, he's saying, look to people who are actually living for our Lord. Look at people who don't just say, yes, I'm a Christian. You know, it's like, as believers, I fall into this too, but sometimes when we see someone who's very popular, like maybe a mainstream, you know, pop artist, you know, a singer, we see them say something about Jesus, and then we're like, oh, is he a Christian? He might be a Christian. This is going to be amazing. And that's fine, but the reality is what we're doing in our heads is we see something that the world glorifies already, and we're trying to attach the name of Jesus so that we can be, oh, he's like me, I'm with him. But that's not what it's about. It's about knowing the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're a famous singer or a single mother taking care of three kids by herself. Who we model ourselves after is not about circumstance. It's not about popularity. It's not about giftings. It's about, do you know the Lord? Do you have a walk with God? Excuse me, can you just hand me the water right there? Sorry about that. Appreciate it. Excuse me. Now, one thing that I'm always challenged by is, as Christians, oftentimes we lack accountability in terms of having integrity in our lives. We kind of are one way here on Sunday or when we're serving, but with our families, we might be completely different. With our friends, we might be completely different. In our workspace, we may be completely different. But we have to live with integrity in Christ. Think of the people that come to mind, those who followed the Lord to the very end, no matter what the circumstances in their lives might have brought about. That's who Paul is saying to be like. And so as he says, imitate me, he's actually saying, imitate Christ. Now, I want you to imagine with me, it doesn't matter how young you are because there's always younger, but imagine that there's someone younger than you, maybe a young believer, someone who wants to get to know more about Jesus. Maybe they just accepted Christ, or maybe they're not a believer. Now, imagine that this person unbeknownst to you, follows you around. He gets to be with you for the course of a whole week, not just Sunday while you're sitting here in the pews listening to someone preach about the Word of God, but there's someone following you around in everything that you're doing throughout the course of a week. Some of you guys are like, oh, you're already getting nervous just thinking about it. But to live with integrity in Christ means that if this person were to follow you around, my question is, would they see someone who is living for the Lord? Would they see someone whose purpose in life is to glorify God? Or would they see someone who changes with their surroundings? Would they see someone who is so different with their friends that are not Christian as they are when they're sitting together with their small group during fellowship? Would they see the same mouth that is singing songs of praise to the Lord, spewing words of hatred or cursing? And I ask you these questions because this is such an important part of imitating Christ and living for Him. It means it doesn't matter if anyone is around, but live as if there is someone beside you, following you, learning from you, seeing how you live. And yes, of course, God is always watching, but you don't live for Him in fear that He sees you. You live for Him because you know who He is, and you know who you are as a saved child of God. That's what living with integrity means. I'm not saying be perfect. But even in your weakness and failure, I would hope that people can see that still your purpose is the Lord. And still you can rest in His grace and His love and forgiveness. Be one who can say like Paul, imitate me. Not because you're so great or because you're so able or because you've accomplished so much in this world, but simply because you love Jesus. And that's a real thing. You have a relationship with God through His Son. Live with integrity in Christ Jesus. Second thing is this, to imitate Christ, to live like Christ, we have to examine our hearts. So examine your heart. That's my second point. Examine your heart. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I believe that we are called to continually evaluate and examine our hearts. Some people think, well, I repented and I believed in Jesus. I don't have to repent anymore. I'm saved, right? No. How often, after we have accepted Christ, do we still turn to our own selfishness or even to the ways of this world? There's a constant examination that must take place, a constant repentance, turning back to the Lord again and again, asking Him to change us, mold us to be more like Him. So examining your heart, reflecting on your own heart, is an essential part of living in such a way that imitates Christ. That means even when things get difficult, even when you're going through hard times, who will you look to? You have to examine your hearts. Are you living for yourself and your own way, or are you living for God's way? Because if you're to imitate Christ, ultimately, it means that you're living to live the Father's will. It's for God, not your own will. We pray it in the Lord's Prayer, right? Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. So examine your heart. If you are imitating Christ, it doesn't just mean you're doing good things and not doing bad things. It means you're saying, God, your will be done in my life. Remember, Jesus Christ Himself prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, He says, Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, please take it. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You see, even Jesus, though He did not have sin, He made an active choice. He examined His heart. He went before God. And He, you know, people who say, oh, He willingly went to the cross. Yes, but He also knew what it meant that He would go to the cross. That He would not only suffer physical pain, but the spiritual pain and separation from God the Father. And so he prays and says, if you can take this cup from me, Lord, God, Father, take it. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You see, there's a heart examination, even Jesus does, to make sure he's on the same page as the will of God the Father. And the sad thing is this. Many people in the church are still living for themselves. Church is a part of their system of actually living out their own will and trying to secure God's help in making their will come true. And the reality is there's no difference than that and someone who's just out living in the world. So examine your hearts. Why are you here today? I pray that it will be the love of God compelling you, that there's a hunger in your heart to know the Lord more. This is what it says in verse 18 to 19. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. I mean, you either are for the Lord or you're against him. There's no in-between. Until you're found in the Lord and living for him by grace through faith, you are an enemy of the cross of Christ. And here it says, verse 19, makes it very clear what is the end of those who are against the Lord, who do not believe in him. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with mind set on earthly things. And so we say, examine your heart and imitate Christ, because it is too easy to make life about my will being done rather than God's will being done. And it reminded me of the passage in Matthew chapter 6 where it talks about storing up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, where thieves cannot steal. Too many of us are too set on storing up treasures for ourselves here. And that's a symptom, as Paul says here, of the enemies of the cross of Christ. So examine your heart. Don't live like the enemies do. It looks really great to make a lot of money, to have power and respect and popularity in this world, to partake in the pleasures of this world, even if the Bible's against that. There's temptation there. But as we examine our hearts, we say, no, I don't want to live for myself or for my own pleasure or my own glory, but rather the glory of God. I want to store treasures up in heaven. You see, there are people who are enemies of the cross of Christ because what the cross of Christ exemplifies is suffering. People don't want to suffer. They want to be comfortable. They want to coast in life. That's the American dream, isn't it? You work hard enough so that you can just kind of coast. Take things easy for the rest of your life. That's not imitating Christ. That's not imitating the one who went to the cross to glorify God the Father. And Paul says, their God is their belly. Think about that. Their God is their belly. What does he mean by that? They glory in their shame. Mind set on earthly things. They have their fill of this world. They try to fatten themselves up with the pleasures of this world, the things that this world says to live for. Their God is their belly. It's to their own taste, what they desire sinfully, selfishly. And it's not about God's glory. It's about their own. Let's not live like that. Let's not imitate the world. Let's imitate Christ. Examine your hearts. Examine your hearts. And Paul makes it clear, and this is something that's important, especially nowadays, because people just don't want to, especially as Christians, you know, we want to be winsome and loving, yes. We want to be gracious in how we speak, always speaking truth and love, yes. But Paul here, their end is destruction. Okay, that's it. There's no other end for those who do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior except destruction. Now he says, with tears, so he's not just like, ha-ha, that's what they deserve. He cares for those who are lost. He cares for those who are not living for the will of God. But he sets the reality, this is the outcome if you don't know the Lord. So examine your hearts. If there's any way in you that is living for the world where your belly is your God in some way, that you've been living in a way that is apart from God, against God, because you want it so much, bring it before the Lord. Examine your hearts. Repent. Ask God for the strength to deny those things so that you can have the best thing, which is Christ himself. Amen? Lastly, remember eternity. So have an eternal perspective. Remember eternity. Verse 20 to 21, it says this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Now, yes, we are citizens of the United States of America. We live in this world. But for those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ, we have a citizenship that is far greater. We don't need to make it great again. It is the greatest kingdom. It is God's kingdom that we are a part of if we are believers of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, look forward and look to the now. Remember that there is a reality that to imitate Christ means to know what he has done for you, accomplished upon the cross, but also that he's going to return. And when he returns, the promises that he's given to us as his people, this citizenship, it's going to be made good on. And we're heirs with Christ to the throne of God. We're in his family. We're in his kingdom. That is our citizenship. Stop living like you're a citizen of this world, because you're not living for this world. You're living for God, Christ, who will return. And we represent Christ in this citizenship. I think we should let everyone know about our kingdom citizenship, what it entails. Not just that it's about heaven, okay? You know, I was just helping out with the Sunday school earlier, you know, today with some of the younger guys. And I said, well, you know, do you know what do you think Christianity is about? And there's people who think Christianity is just about getting to heaven. But I said, no, it's about Christ. Heaven is heaven because you get to know him more deeply there and experience him in ways that right now, as deeply as we can, how great it's going to be when we have no sinful desire left in our hearts. And we can just glorify him, be with him forever and ever. When we think of our time on this earth in light of eternity, it's a blink of an eye. So how will we live? Each and every day, let's live with the eternal perspective. Christ, who will return. We are saved. We're children of God. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. You know, I think a lot about, you know, my son Caleb these days as I pray for him. I pray that he would grow to be healthy and strong and physically, but I also pray for him that he would grow in his spirit, that he would grow in an understanding of Jesus Christ, that he would give his life to the Lord as early as possible, and that he would grow as a man of God, that he would be an impact in his generation for God's glory, sharing the gospel with as many people. And as I pray for him and I think about him, you know, I ask myself this question. Could I say to Caleb, he turns 2 next month, but could I honestly say to him, Caleb, imitate me. Be like Dad, because he's like Jesus. And I think about that, and I pray about that, and it causes me to just repent. Right there. Because imitate me, as Paul says, it doesn't mean, look, Caleb, Daddy's perfect. I've got everything under control. I'm never going to make a mistake. I'm always going to do the will of God. That's not what it means. But to say to Caleb, imitate me, I hope and pray that as he sees me, how I live my life, how I treat my wife, how I treat him and the church and those around me, that he would see that though I may be an imperfect person, I'm an imperfect person who is following the perfect one. I'm an imperfect person depending on Christ, who was the perfect one in my place, that did everything that I could not do and lived a whole life free of sin, all for the glory of God, and ultimately gave himself upon the cross for us. That's what I pray for my son. That as he sees me live my life, I could say, imitate me. Again, not because I'm perfect or because I'm so holy, but because he sees someone who loves the Lord with all of his heart, who knows that even in the midst of failure and weakness, that's not the end, because Christ and the hope that is in him is what shines more brightly than anything else. So can we become a church that's like that? That we can say, imitate us. Imitate me. Not in a prideful way because we've accomplished something, but because we are all people who are just with all of our hearts seeking God, learning to love him more, to receiving his grace more in our lives. Let's imitate Jesus. Let's pray together. Just take a moment to pray in response to the word of God. It's always good.